Courtney Coombs here. Batman vs. Superman. Who is the greatest superhero? It's a discussion that's existed for decades. And next week on Thume, Trenchcoat and I will attempt to resolve that question in our world's finest debate. Emphasis on the attempt. We get a little distracted.
The debate will be released next Monday on the Thume Network.
You are listening to Thume, the retro comic book show.
Welcome to Thume. I'm your host, Timmy Thume. This episode, I'm joined by Mike Myers as we review Invincible Iron Man, issues 8 to 19, the world's most wanted storyline. Welcome to Thume. I'm your host, Timmy Thume. In this episode, I am honored to be joined by Mr. Mike Myers from Geek Brunch.
Woohoo!
What's up, man?
What's going on, Tim?
Nothing much. We're going to review a series that I guess is over a year old called From Iron Man, the Invincible Iron Man, issues number, I believe, 8 to 19. Or something like that.
Yeah, that was a long run.
Yeah, it was like a year. It was called The Invincible Iron Man, The World's Most Wanted. And when it was coming out, I didn't get it, but I was intrigued by it. I wanted it because Invincible Iron Man, the series. First of all, I love Matt Fraction. How you feel about Matt Fraction?
I like him. I haven't read like a lot of his indie stuff, but I like what he's done with in Marvel.
And the artist, Salvador La Roca, has been doing Iron Man, The Invincible Iron Man, along with Matt Fraction. I like their previous work on Invincible Iron Man, so I had to pick this up. And look, I found this at a comic convention, all issues, you know, for like 50 cents. So I was like, cool.
So that's pretty cool that you found all of them, because usually when you go to 50 cents, you'll miss like, 3 or 4 of them.
He had all of them. Maybe I didn't get the first one because I already had it. Actually, I think I did buy them all. He had them all, but it was like one of those one-day comic conventions, which I like the most, the smaller comic conventions. You could find more deals, you know, than the larger one. Can you find deals at Heroes Con? Like real good, like 25 cent and 15 cent and 50 cent?
Yeah, I mean, you can. It's just... You don't see like good runs of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If you're looking for 2 issues here and 2 issues there, you can find stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff has gone to trade. There's a 10-cent vendor though. That's pretty cool at Heroes Con.
Oh,
it's
what?
Like 10 bucks for a buck.
That's cool. I saw one guy at this same convention. I got this Iron Man run. He had 5 cent. He had bins and bins of 5-cent comics. But they were, I mean, you might like some of them, but a lot of people might not like that. Like, they had some New Warriors. They had, not New Warriors, some New Warriors and some things like that from the early 90s and late 80s that he had. And he said he was just getting rid of them for 5 cents.
And it can't go wrong for 5 cents. A comic has to be really fucking bad for.
But I didn't.
For
but
me not to like it. I'd even read Batman Odyssey for 5 cents.
would you read Tad
the
Wings?
Next.
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
And I found some Archer and Armstrongs in that 5 cent.
Oh, I love Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah, I never read them, but I've been collecting them because you, on your word, saying that they're good. So when I get
it is. It's very different. I don't know how it'll be dated, but it read really good at the time.
Valiant Comics.
It was so different because you have like the three brothers and Armstrong was the drunken brother.
Wait, three brothers?
Well, the other one's Internal Warrior, right? And then there's the Time Walker. So,
okay,
he's the third brother, and they're all like immortal. They're like the Highlanders, if you will. You'd have to decapitate them, I think, to to kill him.
Did you like the Eternal Warriors comic too?
Oh, I love Valiant. That was like, I followed it, and I felt like I was like, you know, like when Marvel first started, I guess, and they hooked in a bunch of people. I felt like I was on the ground floor with Valiant, and I was growing the continuity. You know what I mean? That was like the first company where I was like, wow, I understand everything.
That's cool. Unfortunately, it went on only a few years and got swallowed up by Acclaim. But we're not talking about that. This episode, we're going to talk about
Exo Manowar. No. He actually teamed up with Iron Man one time.
Okay, I'm sure you had that one shot.
Yeah.
But no, we're talking about the Invincible Iron Man, the World's Most Wanted run by Matt Fraction and Salvador LaRocca. And the premise of it is basically that if you know Dark Reign, they all have the Dark Reign banner where all the bad guys took over in the Marvel Universe, led by Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn is now the leader of Hammer, well, formerly S.H.I.E.L.D., now Hammer. And he's going after the former head of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tony Stark. And Tony Stark is on the run. That's it. Tony Stark is on the run, and Norman Osborn is after him and the information that he has in his head. Would you say that's a good...
Leading up to it, though, Stark kind of had all his facilities destroyed by Ezekiel Stane and his terrorist dudes.
Oh, yeah.
He was blowing the shit out of everybody. And the one thing that came important out of that first few issues was that Pepper Potts was caught in the explosion. And he had to put that
thing in her heart.
Yeah, that technology in her heart to keep her alive. And that plays a good part in this storyline. So
okay, because when I first read it, I was thinking that she was healthy and they put it in her because she wanted to be like Tony Stark.
No, but she was in one of those explosions.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better about it.
Yeah. it's this electromagnetic repulsor technology disc they threw in there.
Okay, now this is the Invincible Iron Man. And what the original series run? What was they called of Iron Man?
I think it was just Iron Man. It was Iron Man when Warren.
Yeah, what happened to that title? What happened?
And then it changed to Iron Man, Director
of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Right. So what happened to that? Well, because these were running together simultaneously, Invincible Iron Man and Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. What happened to...
I think Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. disbanded when this one took over. Okay. I mean, it ran for the first, seven issues or so, or six issues. And then it switched over to focus on War Machine, and then they canceled it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's... Okay. And I had some of those War Machine...
Yeah, and then War Machine got his own book.
Oh yeah, that's what I had. I had that. War Machine had his own book. I had that, which wasn't all that to me. It wasn't all that great.
I thought it was good because they like wrote themselves a way out early on in the story.
I didn't see the end of it, and I'm not sure what you're talking about on that.
Well, Jim Rhodes turned into like almost cyborg.
That's what I didn't like. Yeah, he was healthy young man, and then he got blown up or something, and then all lost his legs. And then they had now he's some kind of machine.
Yeah, but early on they had Norman clone his body, so.
Okay, so that's where he's at.
Yeah, so you knew that he would get his body back eventually.
But were they transferred his mind into his new clone body? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, getting back to this, Invincible Iron Man, like you said, Tony Stark is on the run, and I liked it. Of course, I liked it because of the art, and it had a lot of good writing. I see you gave it a good review. You liked
It was one of my best reads of the year, because I just read like 6 years of Iron Man over the holiday.
Oh, what the fuck? You going back from Civil War till now?
Shit, yeah, I was that far behind.
Oh, so that means you read, I didn't mean to get off on this tangent, but you read the ones that was going on at the same time as Civil War?
Yeah, I read all that Director of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that That was pretty good. I liked
that was good. That including the issue where Maria Hill, she was like a hero type.
Yeah.
A badass, which that's where I started to like her.
Yeah. I like the way that Fraction writes her. Like, that is awesome.
Yes.
And the way he writes Pepper Potts. I mean, he writes some strong women characters in this, even Madam Mask, you know?
So. Yeah, and then we'll get to that. Okay, then, because let's talk about what we like about the series. Okay, he's on the run in the first issues. He's looking incompetent in the world. You know, the tide of the public is turning against him at some point. And then he goes on a run. Oh yeah, I like the scene where he's trying to help these guys on a ship on a boat repair some damage that's been done, but he was starting to lose his he lost extremist virus, I guess, right?
Yeah, he used to be able to control machines,
including his suit, but now he was still using the extremist suit even though he couldn't really control it, and he didn't have time to change suits before he helped these guys. So he lost control of his faculties and dropped a whole bunch of, metal and stuff that he was carrying. And these guys, he landed in the water, and they were throwing cans at him and stuff, saying, oh, "Man, you almost killed all of us!" Even though he was clear of them, he wasn't going to kill them. He was in danger more than they were, but. And that started his downfall. You know, it goes downhill from there. Norman Osborn, and you know, has the right to take over all Stark facilities, and they're beating up Stark employees and things like that. So, but
they strip them naked too.
Oh yeah. They strip Tony naked.
Yeah, Tony's naked, and so is Maria.
Oh, Maria. Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah. That was probably the first issue, which I haven't read in a while.
Yeah. They stripped them naked.
But I liked the thing. Okay. When he's on the run, it's like Odyssey, like Homer's Odyssey. He's going around the world and we're meeting through the history. Well, I didn't really realize at the time, right? We're kind of meeting the history of Iron Man.
Because he's going through the armors, right?
Yeah. Going backwards.
Yeah.
Which I like. At some point, okay, my favorite issue was the one. I should have these things in front of me. But the one where he met Submariner, that was like the third part.
Because Norman says, "I need your help, Namor. Go kill Iron Man for me."
And he's in his Iron Man is in his sub, you know, and he's underwater. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he had an underwater lair that he was built. He had an old suit in, but in that one, he had the Heroes Reborn suit. Isn't that a Heroes Reborn?
Yeah, I think so. So it starts off, like you said, in the first issue with the extremists, right? And then it works its way backwards.
Yeah, I didn't know that too. Okay, extremists, and extremists is gone. Yeah. And then he's going to his like late 90s suit or early 2000, whatever that was. And
he's back in Afghanistan in the old clunker.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, and that's taken from the movie, not from his origin. Where from the movie origin, he began in Afghanistan.
Yeah, or Warren Ellis' origin. He kind of told that story and revamped it for Afghanistan, made it contemporary.
Oh, then that's cool. That's okay. I didn't even realize. Which I think I did read that. Which they would have to because they say that. I keep hearing that guy from Comic Geek Speak says Marvel Universe goes back 9 years. Only 9 years. So he's in Afghanistan, and that's how I wonder what they're going to do in 10 years. How they're going to have to revamp it. But anyway, yeah. So that's what I like. Oh, then what do you think of like Namor? Is kind of like a supervillain team up again, where Namor used to be badass or bad person.
Yeah.
Villainous.
And he's used to team up with Dr. Doom all the time.
Now he's teaming up with Green Goblin. And I love that issue where Tony is getting a little bit dumber, but he's invaded by his underwater lair is like just bust open by Namor and his Atlanteans, and yeah. I just like that whole thing and the way he defeats Namor. I got to give thumbs up.
Yeah, and you got the controller shit happening there, because one of the cool things is before he gets stupid. I mean, before he says, "I'm going to download everything off of my my brain so Norman can't get it, and I got to become stupid. He sends Maria on a mission to find a drive. You don't know what's on the drive, but she has to obtain the drive from this Texas facility and then give that drive to Captain America. So that's her mission. And then he gives Pepper Potts the mission of keeping his company alive, which doesn't last very long because Norman invades all of the Stark facilities.
Yeah, but and then she gets Jarvis, which is another Iron Man or Iron Woman outfit, because she's now got the technology to do that. But she decides it's going to be a rescue armor, and she's only going to use it for rescue missions, not.
Actually, Tony developed the armor to do that.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, it had no offensive capability.
Oh, in the first place.
Yeah, so he's kind of a douche. He's like, you know, thanks, Tony. Armor. All you can do is save things. You can't defend yourself.
And that's one of my complaints about him, about this series, his douchery, but we'll see that later on. But I do want to say Jarvis, I like how Jarvis is his own sentient kind of computer, like in the movie. I like that.
And the cartoon.
Okay. I think which card?
Jarvis, Avengers, Mightiest Heroes.
Oh, the new one. Well, because yeah. Like I said, the movie did it first. Like, the movie took from the comic books Jarvis.
Yeah.
The man, they made it to a computer. And then now in the comic books, they made use of that computer. I like it. I like how they did it.
Fucking Jarvis. got rid of the butler.
But can I? Yeah. Where is Jarvis now anyway? The real Jarvis?
I think he's in the Avengers mansion.
Okay, good. Then as long as he's alive. Since you talked about Maria Hill's mission, can I bring my first complaint of the series, which is a minor?
Sure.
I don't know if it's a minor complaint, and you can rebut me. Yeah, when she goes on a mission, I don't know how she runs into this warehouse of this guy called Control or something like that.
He's Controller, like, yeah.
He looks like a dark side. And
yeah, he's actually a big part of Iron Man history, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm like, how she just happened to run into him, and she gets her mind molested, taken over by him, along with a bunch of other zombie-like people who are under the control of the Controller.
Mm-hmm.
And they got these things on the back of their necks, look like the Matrix, and he captures her. And I'm like, how the fuck? She's supposed to be on this mission. How does she end up in the grips of the Controller? It's just like too much Deus Ex Machina, as they call it.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like the Purple Man. Like, he can control things, but he uses technology to do it, which is those little discs that are in the back of all those people's heads. I don't know how he applies them all, but he somehow gets those discs on all those people and controls them. He gets it on Maria, and then that didn't work too well, though. Maria, smart enough to overcome it with all her shield training and abusive parents. And
yay for abusive parents, yeah. If it wasn't for her abusive parents, she wouldn't have got out of that mess.
That's right. She might have been still under control, and we would have never gotten the little flash drive.
That's what I like. That's the only thing I like about that Controller scene, well, besides the art in it, because I like how there was that scenes with Controller was like reddish tint, and it was looked like hell. And then later on, when she's free of that, she's in the shower at Black Widow's house, and she's thinking about it, and she keeps flashing back. You see the nice, you know, in the real world shower. Then she think back to that reddish tint hell that she was in with Controller. I like that, but. You know, and the other thing I liked about it is how she broke free, thinking about her abusive dad. Not only that, she was thinking about the former head of SHIELD, Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And then Tony Stark cursing out, saying, "You're an amateur, Hill." And her Marine training, her Marine sergeant was cursing her out, "You ain't, this is a man's Marines, damn it." And she decides, you know, I like that. I like, she's just a
strong woman.
Yes.
She's always been yelled at.
And she said, "Fuck this! I'm not going to let this Controller take control." And she breaks free like that. Nobody else who he's got under control was able to do that, but she was. And she
starts swinging on his technology to get away. Gets the drive and gets the fuck out of there. Blows the shit out of it, right?
Yes, but when I read this, I don't know how she got into his grip. She's supposed to be doing a mission to get this disc.
The disc was in that Controller facility. In other words, the Controller took over that Stark facility in Texas.
Okay. I was saying how he just happened to take over a Stark facility.
Now, they didn't explain that.
Okay, see, because it was just like, see, we gotta have this.
But it could, if you think about it, it could be related to Norman Osborn because the controller was working for the Hood at, you know, early on in the when all everything went to shit.
Okay.
So I mean, he could have had the Hood go fuck with Tony just to do it.
Okay, they should have had that more.
They didn't explain it, but...
They should have explained it. Then I would have felt better about it, because now I just felt like, oh, he just put this in the story to have an obstacle, an extra obstacle for Maria to go through. That's what I didn't like about that.
Yeah.
But that you explained it, maybe I can deal with it better, but he should have explained it. He's like, okay, controller got this because of this reason, mm-hmm. and now Maria has to go past the controller. Not, she can't just get to this. She's got to go past this controller guy to get it, you know?
That's one of the things I liked about the storyline, though, is Maria Hill. She's just a badass. They wrote her really well.
Yeah.
Because she fucking just goes and says, fuck it, I'm going to go spray paint the Black Widow symbol on Natasha's fucking apartment.
Yes, and that's the other. And I did like that Natasha Romanova, the Black Widow, the Black Widow and their relationship.
Yeah.
And Natasha's like, get the fuck away from me.
Crazy ass bitch.
But I didn't like the fact that Maria was kind of broken. Like, she was a little bit crazy because of what the controller did to her. I mean,
it's kind of like what the Purple Man did to Jessica Jones in that Alias series.
That's true, but I think he raped her.
Yeah.
He had, but see, that's why it's different. And he had. Whatchamacallit, Jessica Jones under control for like months. And but this girl, Maria, she was only for a little while. And, you know, the controller didn't rape her. And I don't know what he did to her mind, but she was all fucked up.
Yeah. But before all that happened, there was another important scene where Tony took Maria after Maria escaped because Norman captured her early on, right? And then she escaped. Fell in the water and found Tony again, and then they went to a facility where he had a bunch of Iron Man armor, and they like made love in front of the Iron Man armor.
I liked it.
He like humped her right against the wall, and it's like, way to go, Tony.
See, there's so much information. I should have wrote everything in. But yeah, I like it. Yeah, but that goes and that is with his character. I like it. He's a womanizer. He even fucked the White Queen from X-Men. Like, what the fuck? This motherfucker is a player.
He is.
But I thought that was nasty, though. Like, why is the White Queen and Tony Stark fucking? I mean, that's just
nasty, though. They're both whores. I mean.
And that's why Trenchcoat Mafia back in the day said, you know, remember, because you just said you read Iron Man, The End, a one-shot about the last days of Iron Man.
That actually sucked. I was disappointed.
You said it was good on your little Facebook or whatever I saw you posted.
I read it. I said it was good, but it was like really weak for like, this is it. Like,
yeah, I didn't like it either that much.
It really fell short. Like, if this is the ending adventure, and it's just kind of wussy way out. And it kind of disappointed me because it had Michelini and Bob Layton, and that was like the last good Iron Man run.
Like, my first really good Iron Man story I read was Dave Michelini with the Ghost in the 80s.
Yeah.
And he came back with this bullshit. But anyway.
That's when the Iron Man was, like, in his golden age. And now he's, like, in it again, I think. Because he's, like.
Yes, I agree.
The storyline is out. Awesome.
The movies were good. The storylines with Matt Fraction are good. Even though I thought that the storylines, besides the Civil War stuff, the stuff in, like, 2006, 2007 was kind of weak. I forgot that guy's name who wrote that. I didn't like it. It had great covers, cover art, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff and the stuff right before it, but I didn't like most of the stories. I liked
the
Civil War.
The Knopf brothers.
That guy.
The guy that did Carnival. I actually liked it, though, because of what they had, like Graviton, and they had these minor villains. I really dug it.
I hated it. And see, then I hate that word. Because these TV Hollywood people, they can just do whatever the fuck they want to because they did a TV show. It's like, fuck that. Carnival didn't last. So Marvel says, no, your show didn't last. So we're not, you know, we're not some jabronis that you could just come.
It read really well reading it all in a row, though. It
okay,
really
okay.
did.
Okay, I mean, I didn't read all theirs. I had them, but I didn't read them all in a row. I just didn't like it. With that old guy with the long hair, I didn't even understand what was going on with that.
That was the Mandarin.
Okay, what? Oh, I hate the Mandarin. Okay.
So they had the Mandarin. They had Graviton, which is... He played a real big part in that Avengers cartoon because he was really a badass there. Took on the whole Avengers, but they killed Graviton in that series, so that was kind of a big death.
Anyway, I didn't like that, but back to this. Let's see here. Oh, okay. And then I don't want to... I guess I'll skip through. Because I didn't last night. When I reread this, I misplaced the one with... what's his face? With Iron... Or no, War Machine. I misplaced that issue. That was right before the Submariner issue.
Yeah, they get into it, but after they have sex.
Wait a minute! Tony and Rose had sex?
No, not Rose. Oh. Tony and Maria. After they had sex, he tells Maria to blow up that facility with all the armor in it, and then he takes the Bob Layton armor. You know the.
And that's why he's a dick. Yeah, and that's why he's a dick in it. Okay,
yeah, he kind of left. He left a note on her bed. He like fucked her, and then he left a note saying, "Blow this shit up."
I'm like, you fucking asshole. But he does it. He did it again later on when he left. Okay, we get to this now. Then he was in the Antarctic or wherever, and Pepper Potts caught up to him on his world tour when he's traveling around the world, running from people around the world. She catches up to him. And at the same time, Osborn sent Madame Mask to go kill Tony, find him and kill him. It was in Russia.
Yeah, it was Russia.
And we'll talk about that too with Crimson Dynamo. But okay, so that's a whole thing to get. That's my complaint about that. That's when the series starts to go down. Not when he meets Crimson Dynamo, which I thought that was a cool scene of Crimson Dynamo with his stereotypical Russian guy. Hey, comrade.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I didn't know. Well, I didn't read or remember, is I didn't realize they were friends.
Me neither. I was going
to
ask you
like,
about
what,
that.
I was like, what the fuck? I mean, I thought, you know, he went over to Russia to go to his Stark plant that he bought, right?
Right.
And then he gets attacked by the Russians. You know, they start launching missiles, and he's like, oh, fuck, man, my armor's all old. I'm going to blast it out of the sky. And then Crimson Dynamo comes to kick his ass and realizes it's Tony. He's like, Tony, comrade, let's go have a brewski. And I'm like, what happened?
Vodka,
you know?
Vodka.
Yeah.
but then I like when he took off, Tony took off. Now, but he, matter of fact, he made Tony not only a douche, but a wimpy, kind of wimpy douche. Like, he took his, maybe it's because he was getting dumber, but he took his helmet off and he said, it's me, Vladimir, whatever his name is. He was, it's me, Tony. I shaved my mustache. Don't crush my head. Because he's like, I'm Tony. And then when he said, okay, if you're not Tony under this mask, you know, I'm going to fucking crush you. And then he said, no, I'm Tony. I shaved my mustache. I cut my hair. Don't crush my head. Which, okay, I guess that's understandable. I would be like that too. But it's like, don't crush me. Okay. But then he helps Tony out, gives him the old Crimson Dynamo armor and stuff to do what he's got to do. He runs into Pepper Potts and Madame Mask. Pepper Potts, they fight in the sky. Okay, they're fighting in the sky, him and Pepper. Then they fall to the ground.
Well, Tony doesn't remember Pepper's. He's getting stupider.
Yeah, he forgot.
So he's flying in the Crimson Dynamo outfit, and then Pepper comes in her rescue armor. And she's like, hey, Tony, I'm here. And he's like, what the fuck? And he starts attacking her, beat the shit out of her. And they end up on the ground, and Madame Mask has a gun, a sniper, right on her.
Now, how did she be in the exact right place to have sniper, have the rifle, be in their rifle sights, be right that close to him, when she didn't know where they were going to land? She didn't know. How did she know they was going to be right there?
They landed, and then she walked over there. And she then decided to snipe him.
She walked over there. I mean, how she knows?
She's mad at Mask. She walks. She's got legs.
I'm talking about how she knows they're going to be in that exact place in Russia.
Because I think they were close to that facility that Norman knew about.
It was just too perfect.
It's perfect, but.
No, okay. Well, the issue, I had a problem with that. I had a problem with the issue. She ended with them. them in her sight, her scope sights. She's about to blow them away. Mm-hmm. But then she decides not to. And she decides for the next issue.
It's because her pussy got wet. She started thinking about Tony.
She's a professional. She's supposed to be a professional. She don't love him.
Yes, she does.
She's crazy.
That's why she didn't. I know she's crazy, but she's had some sex with him, right?
I have. What, his dick ain't that good. She was Whitney. I think Whitney something was her name. She was like a debutante about town, like a Paris Hilton type.
Yeah, just like smart, Tony kind of thing.
Right. So why would she fall for Tony when she herself, she's got a boy, new boyfriend, the Hood, Parker Robbins.
Why would you want to go for Parker Robbins? She's like his second choice. She better have Tony Stark.
My thing is, no, I think she's still a professional where she would have done her job, not wait and say, no, I'm going to put my gun down and then try to face them hand on hand combat.
She had personal relationships with Tony.
It turned into a listener to the show. It turned into, I'm saying to my listeners, Fatal Attraction. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, Pepper Potts and him is cozying up in their little hideaway, and they're talking about.
And they're having sex, right? They had sex because that comes up later.
I didn't. I'm probably trying to block that out of my mind, but because it's like, I ain't gonna get into their relationship. But wasn't she married to Happy Hogan or something?
Yeah, his best friend. But Happy's and dead.
So now she can just go fucking. She didn't even think about Happy no more. Anyway.
There is an issue like where that. She thinks about Happy, though.
Oh, they put that in there. Happy. Now let's get back to fucking Tony. Thank you.
Oh, but I don't know if that's in these comics. I don't remember. I read so many of them. Might be the next story arc.
So, what was I going to say about this? So, I didn't like that. And this is where Tony's a dick. He does it again. Like, he ran away from Maria Hill. They get in a fight, a physical fight, combat, because they don't have their suits. And for some reason, her suit isn't charged up. And, you know, Whitney's got them tied up. And she's, you know, becoming Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. I hated it. So, okay, somehow they escape from their binds, and they start fighting her. With Tony, he's a little pussy. He ain't fighting nobody. It's between, okay, they have, Jarvis, the rescue armor, you know, has a little bit of power left, and it pins Whitney against the wall, Madam Mask against the wall. And then Pepper says, go, I handle this, go. And it's like, why? He puts on his suit. He could take care of Whitney right there. Instead, he leaves Pepper to go fight her while he runs off in a suit. I'm like, that's a pussy move. That's a douche move. I don't care how dumb you are. He's smart enough to know. Even he's thinking to himself, I shouldn't have left her. I shouldn't have left her. Like, why are you leaving your girlfriend or your secretary to fight Madam Mask, who is supposed to be trained combat?
Because it was going to blow up.
So he leaves her there to get, you know, blown up.
Only one of them could get out, I think. I think that's what I got out of it.
I didn't like it. I just didn't like it. He should have incapacitated her, and then they both could have escaped. You know, he let Whitney die, or just incapacitated her and leave her out. You know, but I guess you're saying it was going to blow up. They didn't have time for that, but I didn't like all that stuff. And
I'm trying to find out where that happens, because it happens somewhere in issue 16.
Yeah, 16.
So I'm kind of I'm thumbing through it, where the rescue armor kind of takes over, and then Tony trips Madam Mask, and then...
Okay, I got it. But, yeah.
He basically gives her a choice. He goes, choose Pepper or choose me. That's what Madam Mask says with a gun to Tony's head. And he goes, her. It's always been her. And then she says, I hope you die. I hope we both die. And then she shoots that thing that detonates, blows the shit out of everything. And that's when I think Tony's... I mean, the thing's already exploded. They're both in the explosion. Yeah. Madam Mask comes back to fight. And then that's when she tells Tony he needs to get the fuck out of here.
Okay, but then...
I can see your point, like, first she kisses him, right? And then Tony's like, fucking okay, I'll leave you.
And not only that, I guess it's in the next issue, because it's been a while since I fully read, where she has to have beaten up Madame Mask. It's like, that's not possible. She's Pepper Potts. She can't beat Madame Mask, you know. And it's
She's
like,
pretty
okay.
tough. She says, "Tony, you've been training me for this for a long time."
Yeah, to use the armor, not to fight.
No, maybe fight, because Captain America trained Tony to fight hand-to-hand combat, right? So maybe he trained Pepper Potts to do jiu-jitsu or something.
Okay, with that, I did have a problem with, but okay, that's your explanation. Okay, I'll take that. What you think of, let me see, I'm going to see if I'm going through all my, what you think of the scene where, okay, he's in, I guess, Afghanistan, in his lair in Afghanistan. He has lairs everywhere with all the technological stuff that he needs, all his computers and shit. Okay, the two little Afghani kids come in,
uh-huh.
and they want to learn to be warriors, be men of war like him, and they shoot him in the neck and all this stuff. What'd you think of that scene right there?
I don't know. Kids do learn to fight way back, you know, in Afghanistan early on, right?
Yeah.
So they just happen to come about his armor and want to shoot him. Then they freak out just because they're young enough, I guess.
And he beats the shit out of him. I just thought that was kind of an interesting scene. But okay, then let's get to the end.
He just puts a gun to the kid's head, right?
Yeah, calls him a dick. Saying, yeah. You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
But that's not going to scare that kid. He's an Afghani kid. He's seen a bunch of shit. But okay, so those two, finally Norman catches up with, and that's why I don't like the ending. Norman catches up with him in the new, I forgot what he's called, the Iron something.
Iron Patriot.
Outfit. And Tony's in finally in his old, I hate that, the original Iron Man gear, that big lead suit looking thing, like Robbie the Robot or something.
Yeah.
You sound excited. Yeah, I like Robbie the Robot.
It's history. It was a good plot device to show him as he regressed in his mental state, he also regressed in his armor technology. As he got dumber, he had to go to lower levels of the technology. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, but this last quote-unquote battle is not spectacular. It's not a battle. It's Tony getting his ass beat by Iron Patriot. Okay, but that's it. And it's like, oh my God. And he gets beat up really bad. And I guess he quote-unquote wins because all the information in his head is gone by this time. He's like Forrest Gump. But he gets crushed and beat by Iron Patriot. The Iron Patriot can't kill him because the news reporters are in a helicopter. Yeah, in Afghanistan. You're right.
But it was one thing I really liked that we missed in between those issues was Madame Mask and Pepper Potts went at it, and you don't know what happened, right? And then all of a sudden you have Madame Mask saying, "I'm bringing in Pepper Potts, or I'm bringing in, you know, rescue back to the facility." So they let Norman Osborn lets them back in. But what you don't know is that Pepper Potts in the Madame Mask outfit, and she put Madame Mask in the rescue outfit.
That's cool.
Meanwhile, Black Widow and Maria were captured, so they were in prison. So Pepper frees them, and they get out.
And there's that scene too in the elevator. Okay, they're like, "Oh shit, we captured by Madame Mask. She's taking us somewhere." And she said, "No, I'm Pepper Potts." And Maria Hill was like, "Wait, Pepper Potts? The secretary, Tony." He said, "Yeah, that's right. You're the former head of SHIELD. Is being rescued by the former secretary of Tony Stark. Just deal with it, Maria." And Black Widow was like, "Shut up, Hill." So I like that whole thing between those three women. I thought that was fun. But what I didn't like is rescue. Okay. They're in the elevator trying to escape, and at the bottom in the first floor is all the Hammer agents with their guns and shit. Pepper leaves them behind in her rescue armor, even though I think she could have helped them, but they leave it to their devices, where they're going to get shot up by all these guards. And if it wasn't for Maria Hill, you know, appealing to their sense of, I don't know, patriotism. Like, wait a minute, you used to be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Now you're working for him, Norman Osborn. If you got any kind of, you know, good left in you, you know, you need to put your guns down. I'm your former, you know, I'm your former commander or whatever. I'm like, that's unrealistic. Why didn't Pepper Potts just help them? But
I don't know. I could buy people turning on Norman pretty easy. Well, the one guy that actually find, you know, that one scientist or that one guy that worked for Tony and now works for Norman that actually tracked him and knew where to find him. Later on, he's like, why the fuck did I do this? Well, I think the soldiers are kind of doing the same thing.
Okay, yeah, that's which I kind of like that too. It's like this little nebbish guy, and he's in Norman Osborn's office, and he's like, "Hey, I need you to help me, you know, get Tony, you know, help." And if it wasn't for this guy, you know, Tony would have been dead. But this guy, you know, he was helping Tony out because, you know, now Norman Osborn is a creep.
Yeah.
but then we come to the final part that my main complaint of this story. Okay, Tony Stark is brain dead. They captured him. He's in the shield, in the hammer helicarrier, and Norman's there with the doctor. And he said, "Okay, so he doesn't have any information." He's and the doctor's like, "Nope, he's, you know, his brain. He's like almost brain dead." And he said, "Okay, then kill him. Turn the machine off." And he's like, no, he has end of life orders, and only his power attorney went to his physician, his doctor. His doctor has to say whether or not we turn this machine off. And Osborn is like, who is this? Who the hell is Dr. Donald Blake? And then we see all them, you know, Maria Hill and all them in a hotel room with Donald Blake and the little stick. And I think Captain America's there, Bucky. And he's like, yeah, I'm Tony's doctor. And it's like, what the fuck? The last time I saw the relationship between Tony Stark and Iron Man, I mean, and Thor, was Thor hated Iron Man and crushed his suit, and because Iron Man betrayed him and cloned him, and used a clone of Thor to kill one of his good friends. And
that was Thor.
No.
Yes.
No.
Donald Blake is different.
No. It's bullshit.
No, it's not.
No, you got to go on.
Yeah, it's kind of like Batman saying, you know, Superman giving Batman a piece of kryptonite from Luthor's ring and saying, you know, if you need to take me out, take me out. You're going to leave your most trusted things with your friends. I mean, the only thing that's wrong with that is why would Norman Osborn give a fuck about power of attorney? He's already
there. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the only problem I had with it. But I could see him, even though you know how Superman and Batman don't get along? They don't have the same ideologies or anything.
This is different. This
no,
was,
it's not. It's the... They don't have the same. You could have a friend that doesn't have the same beliefs as you, but you trust that friend to do the right thing. And that's what he's doing with Donald Blake.
There was a rift in their friendship because he betrayed Thor, you know, according to Thor, when he was right, he betrayed Thor, and Thor was like, fuck you. So, and Donald Blake is the same. Come on, they're the same person, essentially. And why? And not only that, why would he keep Donald Blake as his doctor after they had that falling out and he crushed his suit and beat the shit out of him?
Same sort of thing with Batman. Batman betrayed the whole DC universe. He had fucking files on every Justice League of America to take him out. Well, Tony has the same personality that Bruce is. He didn't trust nobody. He wanted to have everything that he needed to take out people like Thor and to do what he needed to be done.
But
he knows what's right at the core of his personality. He knows what's right.
Oh, right. That's bullshit. That shouldn't have been his doctor. At least he would have been like, no, at least I'm going to have a different doctor.
Was he going to have a night nurse or what?
Donald Blake was gone for a long time. So how could he have him as a doctor? Okay.
When Thor was fighting it out with Iron Man, was Dr. Donald Blake even in the picture? He was.
I don't. Well, yeah, I think in the first
issue. Because he was in Oklahoma, right?
I believe so, yeah, because in the first issue, I think he went back to Donald Blake of that Jay Straczynski reboot. So, yeah, I think he was around. But so forget that, though. He was gone for too long, and they were enemies. They wasn't even talking. So it's like, oh, he's been gone for like a year or something. Why would I have him as my main doctor?
So you think of Thor and Donald Blake as one and the same?
Of course.
Okay.
No, they have differences about them. And now didn't it come to like Donald Blake wasn't even a real person? He was made to be the secret identity of Thor.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, of course they're the same. And at least he knows what Thor knows, at the very least. Yeah. So he ain't going to be like, I'm friends with Tony Stark. And they knew that they was going to come calling on Donald Blake because everybody was in the hotel room waiting for the phone call.
Yeah, but you... I'm like... At this point in time... Well, I guess the Avengers haven't formed yet. Never mind. They haven't...
It's bogus. You're just killing your story by having these...
No, I can see it with my Bruce Wayne philosophy that he could... just because somebody is your enemy, you might entrust it with your enemy because you trust them they're going to do the right thing with whatever...
They trust Batman to do the right thing as Batman... But not as like Bruce Wayne. They wouldn't. I don't think any of the JLAers.
They're one and the same.
I know, but they're not gonna trust them with their personal lives. Like they might trust that he's gonna send Human Tornado to help them on a mission. And you know, if they're in danger, okay, Batman's gonna come and help rescue me because we're on a mission here. But I wouldn't trust him in my personal life. I wouldn't give him any of my information.
Just because of that one incident, because he cloned you.
Yeah, that or he got all my information.
Even after all those years of fighting hand in hand with each other and trusting each other with each other's lives, you're going to incident.
Well, look at...
you don't forgive and forget. You're going to remember that and always...
That's a big... I'm not saying me. I'm saying that's a big thing. He killed Bill Foster with my clone. He killed my friend with my clone. And not only that, he made a total about face. Because look at all the readers of Iron Man turned on him. All the comic book readers, they think they hate him now. Or they hated him around that time for years because of that character change. And even though to me, he was trying to do the right thing. The Thor thing was a bit too far, the clone thing, but...
Well, that's like something that got out of fucking control. I mean, you thought you had something in control, and you're like, oh, fuck, did that just happen?
Do you think the readers are back on Iron Man's side now? Like, readers like the character again?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of the... Personally, I think it's one of the best Marvel comics on the shelves.
Well, I do have to say, overall, I like this series. I just don't like Matt Fraction making Tony a little bit of a pussy. And he put the woman up front. He put Pepper Potts and Maria Hill up front. But, okay, what you gonna do?
I think he, in the explosion scene, he had to leave. Because if he died, the whole fucking plan... I mean, they had an elaborate plan. I mean, that plan was pretty fucking elaborate where they had that one email... where they had the codes to go into the email and do whatever they needed to do if something weird happened.
They had
that one fucker who was like a priest dude or I don't know what. He was entrusted with everything, too. He came in the storyline.
Was that the guy from the Order? Or?
Yeah, there you go. He was from the Order, yeah.
He was an actor, and they canceled his comic book series, so now I like the fact that he used him in this story because, like, okay, even though we canceled that series and his team is disbanded, we still could use this character.
Yeah. You know?
That was good. That was good. So, okay, overall, of course, I give it a thumbs up because it was more fun than it is not. I don't know if it needed to be a year-long series.
Oh, I thought every issue was really good. Like, I didn't think there was an issue that I read that said, like, oh, this sucked. In other words, if I was to rate every issue was a 4 or 5, you know, out of 5 stars. I didn't read anything that was like a 3. And like, question its existence or purpose, why it was even in the series. So I think it was it was well paced.
Yeah, even though, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it had to be that many issues, but because I thought it was 10, but I think it was 12. I just
well, the one thing I like about it is it's still going on. I mean, it's all building on each other. I mean, the next storyline, you know, Stark disassembled, and the next one after that with the hammer mom and dad, or the hammer daughter and mother. I mean, that's pretty damn good series, too. It all builds on what's happening, and it's like reading a comic book that was written by Layton and Michelinie, because back in the day, if you read a year's worth of Michelinie comics, you would see all the hooks and stuff that they plant early on in the series and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the other thing I didn't like about the ending. It ended spectacularly unspectacular. You was looking up for this big battle, and it turned out Tony got his ass beaten to the ground.
But think on about table, it. Brain dead. How the fuck can Tony beat Iron Patriot when he's dumb as shit and he's in his oldest armor that he first created? He doesn't fucking stand a chance. Like,
but I'm saying, why did it have to be like that?
He might have a chance if he was smart in that old piece of armor, but he's like pretty much like he doesn't remember shit. He's kind of like Taskmaster, where he doesn't remember. It's like Memento. He just remembers little things. He had to play tapes of electrical engineering because he couldn't even remember how to engineer anything.
Okay, fine, but you got this year-long series, and you end it with Tony Stark laying on a table, brain dead, or almost brain dead.
No, but think about it if you're writing a monthly comic.
And not only that, you start another arc, and you're like, okay, this is the end of the story. But no, it's not. They got this. It's not done with.
See,
he's almost
that's
dead.
That's why I'll argue with you, Tim, because that is truly what a monthly comic should do. It should make you want to come back for the next issue. It shouldn't want to write for the trade and say, okay, you finished your story, now you're done. I mean, to me, he's breaking the mold and saying, fuck the trade. If you want to keep reading and get interested in what's happening, you go get the next story arc. And that's what a monthly comic should do. That's when we were kids and going to the spinner rack and you'd see To Be Continued and Spider-Man was being choked by somebody and you wanted to find out what happened, or he like walked away and he left a suit in a trash can. You'd want to pick up the next issue to see what happened.
Yeah, but these things, okay, if you do a done in one or finish the story, people will come back if the story is good. You didn't always have to have this cliffhanger thing. You could say, oh, well, that was a good story. I'm going to read the next story by the same writer. Well, I don't need
this
it
is,
to
this,
hook me.
This is, to me, excellent, because it's like it's using the Walking Dead paradigm. I don't know if you read Walking Dead, but when you read the end of a Walking Dead story arc, it always leaves you like on a cliffhanger, like you're like, oh fuck, that just happened, oh my god, I want to get the next trade. Well, this is essentially what this is doing. It's saying, god, I want to know what happens. Tony's on his deathbed and the disc is in Captain America's hands. I want to know what happens.
Okay, but that's not Most Wanted. Now that's something else, and Most Wanted just ended. And now I got to read.
No, but it's an ongoing, Tim. It's not. Okay. It's not like it was the end, which was a one shot or a story arc. This is a monthly comic. It should make you want to come back.
Okay, but then why did they label this Most Wanted Part Conclusion? Most Wanted Conclusion. That's what they wrote, and then
it is the conclusion. It ended at a note where you could say, "Okay, he's dead." It's on the hospital bed. You don't want to know what comes back.
Oh, that's bogus, man. Because you don't want to end on that downbeat note. But anyway. Okay, well, overall, I give it a thumbs up. I'll take it. You give it a thumbs up.
Oh, also. Hell yeah. This is good shit.
All right. Well, I know we ran a little bit long. I want to thank you for joining me on Doom.
Are you reading the newer story arcs?
No, I got a little bit of that Hammer one with the Hammer daughter.
Oh,
and mother.
Man.
Just 28, 29.
They have a really cool concept in that I think relates to today's society with pocket phones and iPads and shit like that, which I thought was really cool.
I'll go back and look at it and get the other issues, but no, I haven't read that whole thing.
Plus,
the mother and daughter was annoying
me. There's some good story arc in with Doctor Strange trying to get Tony to come out of his when he became stupid and they try to replant the repulsor technology from what's her name into Tony to keep him alive.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some good story arc in there. You should check it out. If you find them in the quarter bin, they're well worth it.
Okay, I doubt I'll find it because I just found this at that convention when they were giving like this.
Was this that Long style. Beach thing?
No, that was different. This was just a 1 day thing in LA. Yeah, Long Beach. I found a couple of good deals there too. I can't remember what I found, but I found this a couple. But mostly I went there because they had you know, the panels. I just was mostly looking at some panels they had there. And, yeah, Scott Lobdell. And they were showing, you know, that cartoon, a bunch of cartoons that weren't out yet. It's just Shazam and Superman and all that. But, yeah, that was a good. Oh, yeah, and they showed the Secret Origins history of DC. So I got to see it there.
Is that what that's called? I wanted to add that to my Netflix queue. Secret Origins?
Yeah. Or something like, I think, yes, the Secret Origin, the History of DC, I think that's what it's called, yeah. But that's, and if you if you see that beginning, I think they have you're going to a comic, no, it's Showcase, the Showcase cartoon, they go and do this comic shop, yeah, there's a comic shop I go to in Burbank, and it was just a 10-second scene, and the guy who works at that comic shop said, yeah, man, they was here for 8 hours all day. It was a pain in the ass shooting that little 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So, all right, yeah, but that's the show. I want to, like I said, thank you for joining me. Maybe I can come back on your show, or you can come back here
and do another fun. Spotlight. I liked it. It was a good spotlight.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
Go to doomcast.blogspot.com. Oh, yes, and check out Geek Brunch with Mike, Micah, Bill,
and
a Manticore, Keith. And so,
DC Noise. Check that out.
How could they find it? Just go to what, Deliberate Noise?
Or you could go to DCNoisePodcast.com or GeekBrunchPodcast.com.
All right. Until next time, y'all. Peace.
All right. Have a good one, Tim.
All right, you too. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.